Of day on Sunday when we bring you Living the Good Life right here on TANTalkNetwork.com in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad to be with you today. I got Megan on the phone. Are you there, Meg?
I'm here, Pastor.
Oh, that's great. Let me turn up your volume so I can hear you. Dr. Angel is in the studio. I'm in the control room. There's glass between us. So if she tries to throw anything at me during the show, I should be okay, Meg. I mean, you know, these things, I'm glad I'm protected in here. You know,
I can just watch that little lady.
I do. And you know what? Because I'm behind all the controls, I can just turn her off.
Oh, you've got the power.
I've got the power, you know, just to turn her off. Actually, Meg, I could do that to you, too. So,
I know you could.
You two need to just really walk the line today. That's all I got to say. You know what? We're excited. We're excited to be on the air, even though we're teasing and goofing around, because we have a very important show today to do. We're in part three of our new series, Forevermore. And today is entitled Deception or Redemption? You choose. Why did we say you choose, Megan?
Because we have a choice, Pastor, in this walk of life. We have a choice to walk a path of destruction, or
right.
We have the choice to walk the path of eternal redemption.
Exactly.
That's the cool thing, is there's a choice.
But, Megan, who would ever pick eternal destruction?
I don't know, Pastor. To me, that's kind of scary. That's a no thank you.
But there have been countless millions of people who have chosen that path prior to today, correct?
Of course, but you know what? The key to that is one word, forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friend, puts you on the path of redemption.
Oh, that's pretty good stuff. Guess what? I agree with you. The key is forgiveness, really. Forgiveness? Do you want to explain that, Megan?
Yes, ma'am. It's the forgiveness of our Lord. It's what Jesus died on the cross for, is to give us eternal redemption. It's to give us eternal life, that no matter what we've done, what we've said, who we've hurt, that we're forgiven. All we have to do is ask.
Amen. And you know, that is, for some people, it seems too simple to be true, Angel. You want to comment on that? That plan of salvation seems so difficult for people to accept.
Well, it's very true. It is so difficult for some people to accept. And I think the big reason for that is, A, they can't set aside their pride.
Aha, uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, forgiveness and redemption is about accepting the gift of what Christ did for us on the cross. And human pride wants us to believe we can redeem ourselves and we can, you know, bring ourselves into right standing by our own actions. We do not want to set that piece of us aside.
Because we're so self-centered by human nature, don't you think, Dr. Angel?
Oh, yes, we are. Very self-centered by human nature. And we have very big egos and a lot of pride. In fact, if you're reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, how many times does God talk about, yes, you know, their pride or haughtiness or arrogance or inability to humble themselves? And, you know, idols is all about putting something above God. And so often people have themselves on that pedestal.
Oh, absolutely.
Their idol.
The Ten Commandments start out with, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? And Megan, that can be a lot of things, can it not? Do you want to comment on that before we go to this first song?
Of course. It can be materialistic things. It could be the love you have for another human being, that you put that person above God.
Right.
It could be your love of money. It could be your love of a car. But whatever that is...
Don't you mess with my Mini Cooper, Megan. Don't you mess with my Mini Cooper convertible.
Now, Angel, you're going to mute me.
It's always a possibility, Megan.
I know. I just never know when it's going to happen.
I know.
But, you know, it's when we put those things above the Lord, it hurts him.
Yes.
And what it takes is us realizing that we will never be great enough to do that. Hmm. We can't live like that.
Right.
We won't live a healthy life.
Right.
We'll be walking that path, that wrong path that we're going to talk about.
Yep.
That's why we can't put anything above our Lord.
Amen. So, whatever you're going through today, dear listeners, we want you to know that God's got a plan for your life. And even though things may seem difficult, God really wants to invade your space today. We're going to the book of Job, chapter 1, for a few minutes. But we're starting out with, this song goes on for 8 minutes, so we're just going to play it for about 4 minutes. I raise a hallelujah. Bethel Music, one of my favorite songs. One of our favorites at Beacon of Hope.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna see in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is King is alive.
perhaps about four more minutes of that song. I love that song. It's one of our real favorites around Beacon of Hope. And let's talk about raising a hallelujah. Megan, what does that mean? And when you're, why would you even ever have to raise a hallelujah? What's it mean?
You know, to me, that means that you are thanking the Lord for your life. You're thanking the Lord for the things that he's done and the promises that he has for you.
Amen.
For the things that are up and coming.
And amen.
That's praise and worship.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
That song where we take the time to dedicate a moment of gratitude towards the Lord.
Amen. Why is that so important, Megan?
You know, Pastor, it's so important because without that type of connection, I mean, not only do we need a prayer connection, but we need a praise connection to the heavenlies because there's power in that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What I mean by that is there's power in the element of what it brings to your spirit.
Oh, yes.
It's like putting a little bit of sparkle on something,
mm-hmm.
but that sparkle glistens like diamond.
Mm.
It lights your spirit with passion for the love of the Lord, with that connection that we have with him.
Yes.
Because it's a connection that we can't share with another human being.
Right.
This is our creator.
This is right.
He knows you more than any.
He
knows everything about you, things you don't even, that you've not even learned. And we need that.
We
our
do.
Our spirit. Praise that connection.
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen.
You know, I have to tell you something with that song. That is my alarm ringtone every morning. I wake up to raise a hallelujah. You know, and it just kind of sets the pace for waking up.
That's good. Does it?
Yes, it really does.
That's fantastic. So no matter what we're going through, people, are you going through something difficult today? You very well could be, because that's life, right? You could be going through a stressor. You could be going through a bad diagnosis. You could be going through family issues. Whatever the case may be, God says when we raise a hallelujah over our circumstances, and that really means, as Megan just said, praising God in the midst of the struggle, praising God no matter how difficult it is. Angel, what does it do when you hear that, oh, your alarm go off at, what, 3 a.m. or whatever time you get up, which is ridiculous.
It does go off early, but what it does. That's put before my feet are on the ground, you know, I'm raising that hallelujah. I'm starting
my day with the mindset of
God's in control and singing praises. So I just let it keep playing while I'm in the shower. I just carry my little phone with me, so
praise God. All right, let's have a little history lesson here. We're going to Job. If you want to know where that is in your Bible, it's left of Psalms. Okay? So there you go. Job was probably the first book of the Bible actually written. That's what scholars believe. So where was this revelation given? I believe it was given to Job, and it was left behind, and somebody picked it up. So we don't know who. It very well could have been Moses, but we're not sure. We know that there was Job living in the land of Uz, U-Z, and that he was a good man. Job 1:1, he was a blameless man. He loved God with all his heart. He turned away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had a whole lot of kids. He had a whole lot of stuff. He had a lot of cattle, camels, all kinds of things. Job was very rich. And in verse 4 of Job 1, we find out that he had his 7 sons. There was one for every day of the week. And every week, in the original Hebrew, what this is saying is that every week, one of them was designated first day of the week. One was designated second day of the week. Monday, Tuesday guy, Wednesday guy, Thursday guy, and whoever, whatever day that was their day, they had a banquet and invited their sisters and the rest of the family. I mean, it was quite a family thing.
That's a lot of banquets. I could just imagine how much food and...
Well, my Amplified Bible says that some people thought it meant just on their birthdays, but the Amplified Bible says in the original Hebrew, it says that they did this every week.
Wow.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And then we have the curtain open for just a moment in Job 1. And we see that God was well pleased with Job. Now, we are going to talk today about our adversary, the devil, because he always does this. He always tries his best to steal your joy, your peace, your finances, your relationships. Jesus said in John 10:10, and if you're listening today, whether live or later, write down some of these references. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, meaning the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. The devil is always about stealing from you. If you have not seen our Facebook post this morning on the Beacon of Hope page or my page, Marcia McAllister, please check that out and like it and all that. We're doing a lot of new digital advertising, so we would appreciate your response on that. But it was important today that we really talk about the things that Jesus said. Now, today on the show, I want to give us a kind of a glimpse backwards to why the devil does the things he does. Angel?
Ooh, his whole purpose, his whole mission is to keep us separated from God, to keep us defeated, to keep us trusting in him, to keep us believing lies. And it's to distort truth. Like, that's his whole purpose.
Yeah. So does he win in that regard?
Well, we know he doesn't win at the end of the book, but for a lot of people, he is winning in their lives because they are choosing to accept the devil's lies instead of the truth of God's word, and they are choosing to be deceived. I mean, we have a choice when it comes to, are we being deceived? Are we laying down for redemption? And that's where our free will comes in.
Yeah, it does. So we have to choose redemption. So today it's deception versus redemption. Okay, so the devil goes to God and says, God says, have you seen my servant Job? Because he's pointing out that people do want to walk uprightly before the Lord. And Job goes, oh, yeah, it's because you blessed him. You know, let just take your hand off him, and he's going to curse you, you know. And I find this fascinating. The devil does not want you succeeding in life. He doesn't want you walking in victory. Verse 8 of Job 1, the Lord says to Satan, have you considered and reflected on my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth. Blameless, upright man, one who fears God with reverence, abstains from and turns away from evil because he honors God. God was making a point. You know what? There are people who love God. We're some of them right here on this show. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? In other words, verse 10 of Job 1, Satan says to God, haven't you put a hedge of protection around him and his house and all he has and every side? You've blessed the work of his hands. You've given him prosperity and happiness. His possessions have increased. Now, put your hand on him and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face. So God gives Satan the power to bring some testing upon Job. Now, we're not going to go into all the rest of this story. We just want to start this whole thing with the fact that this gives us a glimpse, Megan, of the tricks and schemes of the devil. The devil does not want you to succeed in your job. The devil does not want you to succeed in relationships. The devil does not want you to walk around in peace and enjoy. Megan, talk to us about all that.
You got all that right, and there's some more tricks up his sleeve, too. But, you know, I think for people to kind of understand what type of individual that we're talking about, they need to think about somebody in their life that's hurt them. Someone that may have done something intentional or unintentional that they remember that what that hurt feels like. That feeling is what the devil wants to invoke in you.
You're right.
He wants you to feel worthless. He wants you to be placed in circumstances that he wants you to question God's favor.
He does.
And I'm here to tell you, and I know you too will agree, that that's not how we're supposed to live.
That's right.
We are children of the King. We are, you know, when we put on the armor of God, we're untouchable. And we need to come to a point where instead of bowing down or falling down into these little traps, these little mouse traps that the devil tries to set in front of us as we move forward,
yes,
that we go unfazed.
Right.
That we look at him and we remind him of what's coming his way. That his stupid, childish acts mean nothing. And that we start proclaiming the grace and the favor that we have been given.
Amen. And you know, one of the weapons we have is praise. And so when we do a song like I Raise Hallelujah, that's an act of your will. Talk to us, Angel, about that, because it's so important. Sometimes we have to really pull ourselves up from the boots with our bootstraps. You know what I mean?
Well, absolutely.
Pull yourself out of the situation.
Well, so, yes. As a mental health practitioner, I'm constantly teaching my patients what they have control of. And one of the biggest things we have control is our thoughts.
Yes.
And so we're the gatekeeper of what we allow to
yes.
come in. And it usually comes in through thoughts and
yeah.
words and how we accept it. And when we are raising that hallelujah, when we are choosing to praise, we are changing that thought pattern
Amen.
From defeated to victory.
To victory.
I don't know how to figure it out. I serve a God who's in control.
Yes.
And so that puts it like neuroscientifically into the front of our brain where we focus on and look for the things we're thinking of.
Right.
So if you're constantly being fed, you're not good enough, you're not this enough, you're not that enough, you're going to continue to look
you're gonna
for
believe that
and
stuff,
you're going
right?
to believe it. And it's going
right.
to be your truth because that's what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe I serve a God who is capable, I serve a God who has everything in control, I serve a God who, then that's what you'll start seeing around you.
Exactly. And we know, and I mentioned this today on the Facebook post, the devil does this. He accuses, Revelation 12, 10 through 12, says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So here's how he gets to you, folks. And don't say you weren't warned, because you're being warned right now. Okay? The devil will try his best to accuse people to you with things like, you know, they don't really like you. They talk behind your back. They really hate you. They don't respect you, whatever. The devil does that kind of stuff. He will also accuse you to yourself. How would he do that, Dr. Angel? We're going to tap into your PhD.
Well, accusing us to ourselves is just that, putting those thoughts in our heads that tell us, oh, remember what you did before? God could never love you. Oh, you're not that kind of person. You're, you know, all of these negative, bad things, accusing us maybe of things we did in our past, maybe things we thought of doing in our past. Oh, you're not good enough for God. You're not holy enough. You're not just, oh, you've been divorced.
Shame,
or
shame.
You've experienced this. Or exactly. And that's how he accuses us to ourselves. And that's when we are the gatekeeper, we have to keep those out of our
we
brain
have to.
By flooding it with the truth of
Amen.
What God says we are, not the lies of what Satan says we are.
So, but you are right on. So, Megan, I'll give you the last one then. How does the devil accuse God to us?
Oh, you know, the lies of, oh, God did this to you. You know, why would God give you? Why would God give you
yeah.
this? You're not worthy of his love. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the friends you have. No. And I like what Dr. Angel said is we're the gatekeeper.
Right.
You're darn tootin' we are, because we are the gatekeeper of protecting our spirit. Of
yes.
protecting our spiritual and
yes.
mental health.
Yes.
And when it's time, here, we need another word. It's time to set some boundaries.
Ooh,
I mean,
that's a Dr. Angel word. Go ahead
yeah,
with that.
If you haven't set those boundaries, then you're letting Satan violate your redemption.
That's right.
True story. And, you know, Megan, there's such a connection between our spiritual and our mental health. So anytime that we're feeling in the anxiety and the depression, it's going to affect our spiritual walk in our spiritual world, and vice versa. When we're feeling spiritually defeated or unsure, it's going to affect our mental health. They're tied together.
They're tied together. Mm-mm. We have some weapons, and all through this show, we are going to give you some things you can write down as we go. One list would be power scriptures that are going to help you fight the devil. That's one list. Okay. Another list are going to be myths, you know, lies that the devil says, right? And the third list, and I guess you girls are going to have to keep track of this stuff because I'm like just saying this off the top of my heart, my head. So the first list is power scriptures that will help you fight. The second are myths or lies that the devil tells you. And the third are actual weapons that you have. Now, one of the biggest weapons you have is praising God. Angel said she starts every day with, I raise a hallelujah. When you raise a hallelujah over your situation, that is fighting. That's one of your weapons. I'm fired up, girls. I'm just warning you right now. Just warning you. Okay?
We're ready.
You're ready?
We are ready.
All right. So in that weapons category, one of your weapons is joy. Because Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I think we should play that song. Wren Collective, The Joy of the Lord. It helps seal this concept in people's minds.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When I cannot see you with my eyes, the faith arises. I cannot feel your hand in mine.
joy of the Lord is my strength. Why, Megan, do we need to have a source of strength?
Pastor, we need a source of strength to keep us stable. We need roots that are deep-rooted in the wisdom of God. And each of those roots can represent different things.
Right.
Prayer, praise, reading the Bible, you know, showing the Lord that we put him first. And no matter whatever we do,
right?
But you also need to be in a soil that is absorbent of all the nutrients.
Oh, amen.
Because you have a spirit that you need to feed.
Right.
You can't just walk around and not take care of your spiritual and mental health.
That's right.
And as Dr. Angel said, those go hand in hand. Because I know for a fact that when I am strong in my relationship, when I'm showing the Lord that, hey, you're my Prince Charming, there's no one above you,
amen,
then I'm in the right place spiritually and mentally.
Yeah.
And then when those attacks from the devil come in,
oh yeah,
where he tries to throw us off of our path,
sure he does,
you will recognize it.
And that's what we're talking about today, the deception that the devil throws at us. And he likes nothing more to throw, what's the word I'm looking for, Angel? You know, something to sidetrack you.
We call that little shiny object syndrome, but
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He diverts
squirrel
our attention.
Syndrome.
Squirrel, yes.
Yeah.
Diverts our attention over here.
Diversion. Right.
Yep.
Why does he do that? Why would he even bother to do that to us?
Well, if he could take our focus over here and all over the place, then we're not able to really put it where we need to put it. And a lot of times, you know, those diversions are like just drama type things that so present.
Sure.
They steal our joy, they suck
sure
our energy.
Right.
They're just things that aren't good for us to be in, and we really have no business being in.
And we have to learn to recognize them quickly so that we don't get caught up in them, right?
You know, I use this line in counseling all the time about staying in your own lane. We got to learn to stay in our lane, you know, and that is part of the boundaries that Megan was talking about, where when we know what's ours to be responsible for and who we're accountable to, it's easier for us when we see that diversion. That's not something that's in my lane. I need to stay in my lane. And then we don't get involved in all of these things that we have no business in.
This morning on the way to church, I was in an area near the church, and the speed limit is 40. And I was going about 36, 37, 38, something like that. It was not just under 40s, trying to stay under it. This car came right up behind me. Now it's 8 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody out on the roads on Sunday morning in Tampa Bay, right? And this car came right up there, and there was a lane right beside me. She could have gone on that lane.
Right.
So she got up right against me and honked.
Wow.
So I just moved over. But that's what the devil tries to do to us. You know, I fortunately had a lane I could get into, mm-hmm, when she's honking at me. Sometimes we don't on the interstate, and you're just like, can't go anywhere. What do you want me to do, dude? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You want to take that and run with that, and then we'll go to Megan with that.
No, sure. I mean, and something like that
happened
like
this morning.
Those types of things can steal our emotions. We can feel frustrated and angry, and, you know, why is this lady doing this? And we feel victimized, and, you know, like everything's stacking against us when somebody could have diverted it, but you chose to make the peaceful move.
I chose to do it that way.
And I talk about, I know you hear me say this a lot on Go Yard, you know, about being the hero. That's
yeah
it. If I can divert an issue and be the hero, it's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's about keeping our peace.
It's about our peace. We've been talking about joy just now. Megan, let's talk about keeping our peace. You know, sometimes we have to throw situations, attitudes out of our conscious stream, because we can get so entangled with somebody else's problem. Do you know what I'm saying, Meg?
Yeah, we can actually take on people's problems as our own.
Right.
And that's not healthy for us to do. That's not our job.
Right.
Instead of taking them on or taking on an attitude of road rage, pray for that person,
exactly,
that's trying to cause you a distraction. I mean, even if it's, Lord, just give me the peace not to react the way that they want me to, whether that's on the road, in your own home, or it's a friend.
Right.
Like, we have to learn to redirect the physical, emotional reactions to be spiritual reactions.
Right.
Is that we think, how, if I'm being tested right now, how would Jesus respond?
Right.
What would he do? It's always in love. So if we have to refocus ourselves, then that's where we need to either turn on some praise music or we need to pray.
Exactly. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to remind you all about Luke 10, starting with about verse 22, 24. The young lawyer comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay, now this whole series is about heaven. It's called Forevermore. So the young lawyer says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus puts it right back on him. And he says, "How does it read to you?" Okay, God loves to hear our interpretation of his words, right? And he says, "Well, I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and my neighbor is myself." It's the concept that you see on some people's bumper stickers, love God, love people, right? Jesus said, "You got that right, go and do it." And then the lawyer, trying to just cause a problem or to just pick a fight, says, "Well, I don't know who my neighbor is. Who's my neighbor? Let's go there. Let's go there."
Okay.
Let's go there.
Where are we going?
We're going to Luke 10.
Luke 10.
Let's go there. I've told you the first part of it, but it gets more interesting here. Because the young lawyer cannot just settle for that. Luke 10, 25, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "How's it written to you? How do you read it?" Verse 27, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You got it. You answered correctly." Luke 10, 28, "Do this habitually and you will live." Not do this occasionally. I'm in the Amplified Bible. Do this habitually. In other words, learn to love people as you love God. But in verse 29, the young lawyer says, wishing to justify himself and vindicate himself, asked Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor? Is it the guy that lives next door to me? Is it my mother? Who is my neighbor?" Right?
Yes, I find this very, I mean, this whole set of passage I find interesting because.
And of course, we didn't know we were going here. Holy Spirit's leading us here.
You know, and so importantly, first of all, I think God wants to hear our interpretation of the word so he can correct our deception with
very
his
good.
Truth.
Woo, deception versus you know, truth. Yeah,
and when
I love
talk
it.
About, like, when I teach communication for couples and families, that's one of the skills. Like, what did you hear me say? What did you hear that person
right.
say? So it can be corrected in the moment. And I think God uses that with us. But, you know, we tried, that's that, he tried to justify himself. This lawyer is trying to use his human capacity and his who he thinks he is and what he thinks he can do separate from God to justify himself. And we cannot justify ourselves.
Right. And the rest of the story goes into the story of the Good Samaritan, which most people listening probably know what it is.
Sure.
And so Jesus tells him a story, a parable to illustrate what this means. And basically he says, without going into reading all this, because we got so much to cover today, religious people, two of them came by and they just let this guy who had been beaten and robbed and stripped of his clothing and belongings. He was laying on the side of the road half dead. And the religious people just go by and say, "Oh yeah, well, look at you. You're a mess." Right?
Right.
And then somebody comes, a Samaritan, who's not even a Jew. He's from another culture, and he takes him. He binds up his wounds. This is that story where he poured in the oil and the wine and he restored his soul, you know, and he took him and he paid for a motel for him.
Yes.
And a caregiver.
He went over and beyond.
So tell us about that, Megan, and then we'll go back to Angel on this, because verse 37 says, before you get there, Megan, "The one who shows compassion and mercy, that's the one." Jesus said, "Go constantly and do the same." Megan?
Amen. That is acting in love. That's
right.
what I just said, is that instead of choosing to react the way that someone who isn't a spiritual being and is reacting in a negative fashion or reacting to someone who's ill, like we talked about this with the Great Samaritan, is that we react in love, that we see someone who is hurting and we react with compassion. We put our own agenda aside and we care.
That's right.
We choose to show someone Jesus.
Amen. You know, this whole concept of deception versus redemption, how does that apply here, Angel?
Well, I think it applies on a lot of levels, because, you know, the Samaritans weren't considered, you know, they were looked down upon in the culture. And when Jesus, you know, when this guy came in and went over and beyond to take care of him, and like bringing it into our culture and our world and our country that's been so divided between these people have more value, or these people are more Christian, or these people aren't Christian, and so we're, most people are willing to help
people. Or these people have darker skin.
Whatever, and you can label it from socioeconomic to skin color to lifestyle choices to what type of church they go to these days, like all kinds of stuff. We get people start valuing and devaluing people. So
right.
I can't help that person because they're not worthy of that help.
Right.
We got to stop that.
Amen.
We don't get to decide who's worthy. If they're breathing, they're worthy.
Right.
And if we can help them, we need to do that.
Right.
With love and compassion of Christ.
Woo. We do. Let's see. What's the name of this song? I think it is my name is that's what it is. Matthew West, is it? I'm not sure. Is it? Okay,
I think so.
Well, we're gonna find out.
My name is regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. The one true king, I've been saved, I've been
love that song. Megan, do you like that song?
I love that song.
Why? Why do you love that song, Meg?
Because it reminds me of who I am.
Amen.
And it makes me smile when I think about that. You know, it is a cool and amazing thing to know that we have eternal life waiting
on
us.
Amen.
Woo! It's amazing.
And, you know, the devil tries to tell us that's not the case, and he tries to discredit God's word to us, Angel. Talk to us about that, and let's go to Isaiah 14 for a couple verses. Isaiah 14, 12. And, Angel, what does the devil do? In Isaiah 14, 12, we'll find out what he does.
Right. But the devil, you're right. He's totally trying to discredit God all the time. But here, you know, he's tricky and he's schemey. And so he'll give you part of what God's word says and then part of his lies. And as we talked about on Go Yard, a half truth is a lie.
Right.
So, but we recognize the piece that's true, so we accept the other part.
That's right.
So when you know the truth,
right,
then you know you can recognize deception.
But you got to know the truth in order to recognize deception.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's an established fact. God Almighty created the universe and created us in his image. We're going to talk about that more next week. Isaiah 14:12 is Isaiah getting a glimpse of what happened in heaven long, long time ago. And he says in verse 12, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, light bringer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the ground, you who have weakened the nations, king of Babylon." This is the prophet saying this to Satan, right? Because we know Satan was a music leader in heaven, the worship leader, before he was cast out. And this gives us a behind-the-scenes glimpse of why he was cast out. Verse 13 of Isaiah 14. "But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit on the Mount of Assembly in the remote parts of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll make myself like the Most High." But in fact, you're going to be brought down to Sheol, to the remote recesses of the pit. In other words, there will come a time, Satan, when you are going to hell. By the way, people, if you're in the habit of telling people to go to hell, please don't do that. Because hell is real. And we're going to talk about that more. Dr. Angel and Pastor Jim are teaching on it this Wednesday night. You can Zoom with us. Just send a request to prayers at bohmglobal.com. It's a very real place. Don't ever tell people to go to hell. Not good. Angel, talk to us about this. We get a glimpse behind the scenes of Satan.
We do. We get a huge glimpse. And by the way, this is part of my message this Wednesday
night. Is it? Oh,
yes,
good.
It is.
Okay, good.
But we do. So we kind of see and how he works. He wants to make himself like the Most High. So like means it's a counterfeit, but it's going to look close. So that's where we get that deception.
Deception.
So he gives truth and lies intertwine, and it's like, so everything that God does, Satan tries to replicate on his own terms. And so it deceives so many people.
Oh, it does. It does. Absolutely.
You know, and the biggest deception I'm seeing right now, I mean, in talking with people and in the counseling room and people in life, is that they believe that, well, there's many ways you can get to heaven. There can't just be one way. Like, this is kind of like this new popular thinking process.
Yeah.
And to think there's only one way, well, God is so loving, right? And I know you're going to talk about myths, but that's exactly what
that's
that
a myth.
Is. There's
that's a
the
myth.
Truth. There's the lie and deception mixed in with, you know, that's what Satan's trying to do. And if he can make you believe that that's truth, then he's gotcha.
He's gotcha. Talk to us, Megan. I love this.
Yeah, right on. And, you know, the other thing is that, you know, you'll hear the devil say, well, the only way that you'll get into heaven is by doing good works.
Right.
Well, that's one of them. But that's not all of it.
No, not at all.
No. There's a multifaceted of things that we have to do to have that unity with the Lord. That we show him, again, who matters. Not, you know, not everybody else, but that he comes first. it's so hard to put into words how we need to stress rearranging priorities so that when we are being deceived, that we are strong enough in the word, strong enough in our prayer language, and strong enough in our prayer, in our praise, that we recognize it, that it's falsification.
Yes. Yes. And so often people are not that strong in all of those things. And why not, Megan? We'll go back to Angel after that.
Repeat that, Pastor. I'm sorry, my phone cut out.
So many times people are not strong in the word. They're not strong in their praise life. They're not strong in fighting and interceding. Why not?
Pastor, because they don't put in the work.
Right. Yes.
And I don't mean to be so harsh, but you can't grow unless you study. You can't be moldable if you've hardened yourself. We have to take a step back and remember what it's like to be a kid.
Right.
Because when kids believe in something, they do it with everything that they are.
Hmm.
And where I'm going with this is childlike faith.
Yeah.
That is the way that we need to live in unity with the Lord, that we live in expectancy of his greatness.
Right.
That we know that no matter what comes at us, that he's got ultimate control.
Amen.
And he's got our best interests in favor.
I agree. While you were saying that, when you said it takes work, it reminded me of one of my grandsons, Chase. Chase has one of those minds that does math in your head instantaneously, right? And he got in so much trouble in high school with algebra, geometry, and trig and all those things because he just looked at it and could calculate it extremely quickly in his mind, and he just put the answer down. And so the teacher would say, no, you got to show your work. Why should I have to show my work? I got the right answer. Angel, talk about the importance of showing our work.
Well, sure, because it shows the steps behind how we arrived there, you know, and so what's the thinking process going? What were steps 1, 2, 3 and, you know, and counting back? And when we're dealing with, you know, the devil, the great deceiver who mocks God and tries to be like him, it's almost like, you know, the culture right now is like, you know, designer purses are a really big deal, right? Like, so like some of these designer purses are going upwards of like $5,000.
And I can't believe you have 3.
I do not have those expensive designer purses, but they are.
I'm just teasing you.
But other people have found out, oh, we can make fake knockoffs,
yes.
Right, and we can sell these for, you know, a quarter of the price and let them think they're real. So they're like mocking it all the way down to the special markings that these designers are using to make you think you're getting this designer purse for a really great deal.
Wow.
And they're selling them all over the internet.
Right.
The problem is it's not the real, so the stitching isn't as good and the quality falls apart. And you know, people don't realize this until they've walked with this fake knockoff for a while, right? And like that's what the devil is doing. He's the knockoff. He's the fake one.
Oh, that is so good.
Is getting us to believe what we're doing is the real, but it's not. And we're not going to realize that. Maybe, I mean, for some people may not realize that until they're standing in death before the judgment seat.
They very well could be.
But
right.
While we are alive, we have hope to
right.
find truth.
That's why I put my money just in my pocket and don't carry a purse.
You don't have your designer Michael Kors bag?
I do not believe I do. Angel, while I got you here, let's talk about our Go Yard show on Thursday night, because we're going to have to basically repeat the same content. There was a problem at the station here on Thursday night, and people could not listen to our show. So tell us what we're going to talk about again.
Sure. So Thursday night here on this station at 6:06 p.m., we have Go Yard, which is our counseling/life coaching show with me, Dr. Angel, and a pastor who's Mama Mac. And
yeah.
We are really taking apart the power of truth in our lives in all kinds of way, truth. And that show is definitely more mental health based, but it will impact you spiritually as well.
Absolutely. So tune in with us Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. And Megan, you've just joined the prayer team.
Woo!
I did.
Tell us what
you know why?
Why?
I'm all with a broken ankle. So
right.
What's a better way than to fill my time praying?
Pray
like
it.
Like I've already been doing.
Ooh, what the devil meant to harm, you are turning into good. Praise God.
That's right on.
Girl, every day. You know, if anybody has a prayer request, nothing's too great or too small. They need to send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. And we catch it, and we write a prayer, and then we send it out to the team, and we all pray in unity. And you know what? We get praise reports because God is still moving.
Megan, once they're put out there or in a service we're praying about something or on a Wednesday night, it's like it's so quick. It is crazy what God's doing here. I mean, I don't mean it's crazy. You know what I mean? I mean, it's quick. That's what I really mean to say.
It's crazy good.
It's crazy good. You are joining your mom, Betty Thomas, who's on here a lot on the show, and Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, to help write prayers because they're coming from around the globe. So if you have a prayer need, just send an email to prayers@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Just send a prayer request in, and we will send that request plus a prayer to our prayer team. So, Megan, that is great. So we want y'all to use that and catch our Thursday night counseling show. We are located in Clearwater. We know a lot of people are not coming to church in person these days, so we have a remedy for that. And Angel's going to tell you that remedy. There's two remedies, actually. Right after station ID in just a moment. Our location, if you choose to come visit us, is 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. It is actually right off of Hercules on Weaver Park Drive between Drew and Sunset Point. Not hard to find. We would love to have you join us if you are so inclined. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
All right, got it on time this time, you know?
Yes, you did.
That takes a lot, you know, in
yes,
here,
it does.
You know, making sure all the buttons are pushed at the right time.